We're up to the Mishnah on Daf Pei Amud Beis. And we're talking about a Shituf or an Eruv, and they put down a pass, and they want to rely on this Eruv from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos to the next Shabbos, but Nismaita Ochel. We need a certain shear, a certain minimum shear of Ochel. And it was Nismait. And the Gemara is going to ask later on about what happens if the food was completely destroyed. But right now we're talking about a case of Nismait. So he was Meniach, an Eruv, or a Shituf, and it had the shear, but now it was Nismait. Now, in the previous Mishnah, we spoke about the concept of being mezakeh, which means that one person could offer his own contribution, his own mazon, and he could be zocha on behalf of all the other people in the mavui or in the chatzer, through zocha liolim shel b'fanav. How much more so here, in the case where we have the Eruv, we're just missing a little bit part of it, is Mosif Umezaka. So Reuven could get up, and he's the Good Samaritan, and he adds, let's say, the second Suda, in order to be Mashal in the Shear of Mosin Shtei Sudos. I'm just giving an example. And it's from his pocket. And he's going to be Zoche on, you know, to the benefit of all the other Bnei HaChatzer in what he's adding. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. But I have to add one point here, which he makes here, he clarifies here, that as far as the other Bnei HaChatzer, let's call them Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, they don't have to do anything because Reuven did everything on their behalf. I think that's pretty straightforward. So in other words, if you're on the receiving end, then you don't need to actively implement any sort of zechia because the giver, the donor in this case, we'll call him Reuven, he was zocha on behalf of all the recipients. However, the question is, do they have to know about this? And the answer is, Ein tzarich lodia lahem. He doesn't have to notify them because they already joined the shituf or the eruv. Just that now, so they've already clearly demonstrated that they're in favor and they have vested interest in having this eruv or this shituf. Yeah, I'm not sure if you could help me out. Come, I had an example, but now I see it's not such a great example. That let's say you purchased a stock, and for whatever reason, the value of the stock went down. So I can bill you by, let's say, adding money for the stock, based on the fact that if it went down, like for example, in, I don't know if there's anything parallel in secular law, but in Jewish law, monetary rights are always dependent upon a minimum of a pruta. So let's say it dipped lower than a pruta, and I know that you wanted to purchase it, then I could add that fraction in order to make up the differential, the increment, and then I could bill you for that because since you already did the action of buying the object, buying the item, you put down the money, then I know that you have an interest. Here in this case, I know that you have a vested interest in the shituf or in the eruv because I know that you contributed mazon shtei sudos. Now, you know, the situation of the eruv is precarious, and therefore I can assume that you would certainly would be agreeable and approve of my giving on your behalf whatever is lacking to make this a viable Eruv. Oh. So he says the following. In the note. I think this note is just a preview of coming attractions, but once he says it, we'll learn it. He says the following, that the reason why Eino Tzarech Lodi Alehem is because, just one second, is because, one second. Right, is because they initially contributed to the Eruv. But what about a case where, let's call him Reuven, he shelled out for the entire Eruv from his own pocket in order to be Mezakeh the Bnei HaChatzer, and they did nothing whatsoever to indicate that they wanted this Eruv or the Shituf. So there was no investment or Gili Das on their part that they're eager to have this Eruv. So in such a case, he would have to get their approval, even in this case where he's being mosif. So he started the process and now he's continuing the process, meaning he set up the Eruv from the get-go by being mezakeh the others. Now to maintain the Eruv, when it was nismayit, he's going to be mosif to make up the difference, to replace that which is lost. And in such a case, then we would say tzarech lodia. He has to notify them to make sure that they're on board. Our case in the Mishnah, eino tzarech lodia, is a case where initially not only Reuven contributed to this Eruv, but Shimon, Levi, Yehud, they all contributed. And now, unbeknown to them, the mazon shtei sudos was diminished. It's no longer the shear that's necessary. And the answer is that now we have this principle of Ein Tzarech Lodio. And why is that? Because they already indicated their interest in having this Eruv. Now we have to add another variable into the equation. I'm not sure he spells this out. Whose money is paying for this Tosefes? Well, if Reuven's going to add this Tosefes, and he was the one, let's give the following scenario. In a scenario where he was the one who initially purchased the Eruv, so to speak, or set up the Eruv from his own pocket, then once again in the Tosefes we'll apply the same principle of Ein Tzarech Lodia. Why? Because they're not losing anything. They're only gaining. They're gaining rights to carry in the chotzer and the mavui at no loss whatsoever. They're not paying a dime for it. So in that case, ain't tzarech lodia, that's pure zoch liyolim shelo b'fanav. But in a case where he, let's call him Reuven, is shelling out, but he expects to be reimbursed, he wants every single person to pay him for partnership in the Eruv. In such a case, if we're talking about miut, and the members of the chotzer had contributed in the first round before the miut, then ein tzarich lo'odia. But if, let's say, he expects to get reimbursed, and they never indicated whatsoever, in any way, shape, or form, that they want the Eruv, then we're going to apply the principle of tzarich lo'odia. You can't take money out of someone's pocket and expect to be reimbursed if he doesn't agree. Maybe he doesn't need the Eruv. He's not interested in the Eruv. So here's a case of ein tzarich lo'odia, because even if he's going to bill them for the extra mazon to be mashlim, the shear that was now diminished, they already indicated their interest, their eagerness to set up this Eruv by shelling out from their own pocket for the mazon shtei sudas in the first round in order to set up the Eruv. So therefore, in the Tosefes, they have to pay that money. In other words, Reuven's going to shell out the money, but on their behalf, and they will reimburse Reuven. And all this is ein tzarich lo'odia. Even though they're going to have to, you know, they're going to be billed, they're going to get a certain amount of money is going to be taken out of their bank account, and they don't know anything about it, it doesn't matter because they already indicated their approval when they first set up this area. The Tosfu Aleihem. Now, other people who weren't there when they originally set up the Shituf for the Eruv, they joined and they took up residence, maybe in the Chatzer or in the Mavui, is Mosif Umezak. Now that there was a Miut, the only way of salvaging and validating the Eruv would be if he, Reuven, as the Good Samaritan, would be willing not only to shell out to make up this Tosefes, but also to be mezake the others, almost like a gift. And he's saying that which I'm adding on behalf of all the people in the Chatzer, and that's called Mosif Umezak. Now, this is a case where Reuven is shelling out from his own pocket. What about a case where he expects all the Dayarim to reimburse him for any monies, outlays. But now there are Dayarim who just joined and they never indicated their interest in the Shituf or the Eruv. They were never, they never gave their approval. Is then Tzarich Lo'odia. He has to notify these new guys on the block, that he's adding from his own pocket money, and he expects to be reimbursed. In such a case, Tzarich Lo'odia, because they were late additions, as we said before, the new man on the block, they never indicated their desire and their approval to set up the Eruv. So they could be makpid, and he's taking something of theirs. I mean, they could say, no, we don't want to be part of this mav, of this shituf muvos. Next, the Mishnah continues. What is the minimum shear to set up shituf muvos, and for that matter, an eruv as well? Kama hushi uron, bizman shehem merubin, Okay, what does merubim mean? There are many members, many balabatim in the chatzer, or many bali chatzers in the mavui. Is then, whatever this merubim means, is mazon shtei sudos lekulon. In other words, all you need is shtei sudos for all of them, even though there are many people in the chatzar, in the mavui. And in the Masifta, he quotes in the notes Rabbeinu Yonasan, who says, Kevin shemazon shtei sudos hu shir chashuv, dai b'shir zeh lekulam. And that means that if you divide it up amongst the many people, each one is going to get a kernel's worth of food, but that's sufficient. Bizman she'mu'otim, if there aren't that many people in the chatzer, which means that it's enough to have mazon shtei sudos, and that's up to 18 people. Again, we didn't get to the sugi yet, but I'm just giving again, you know, previews. That ad shmonasre ish nechshavim mu'ot. But once you hit the jackpot of 18, and certainly more than 18, they're already called merubim. Now, the reason for this, I don't know if we can appreciate this, you have to know a lot, is that mazon shtei sudos is the equivalent of 18 grogros. Right? Grogros are dried figs. And the minimum shear of chshivus is kigrogeres. So now we can divide up these shtei sudos into 18 different portions, each of which has the volume of a grogeres. Im yesham yosem mishmon esrei bnei yodim. If there are more than 18 people, sheim yanichu ki grogeres l'cholecha v'echad yesham yosem imozon shtei sudos, is ein tzorich grogeres l'cholecha v'echad. V'day b'mozon shtei sudos l'kulon. Just give me a second here. Ooh. Reorganize myself for a second here. Okay. So again, what happens if there are more than 18 people in this mavui or in the chatzer? He says, Im yanichu kigrogeres l'chol echad v'echad, right, we said that 18, I'm sorry, that mazon shtei sudos equals 18 grogros. Now, if that be the case, that's enough for one grogeres per person. So you could divide up mazon shtei sudos for the benefit of 18 people, giving, allotting a grogeres worth for each one. However, once you have more than 18, then you're not going to end up with a grogeres worth for each person, and that becomes bizman shei merubim, and we're going to need mazon shtei sudos lekulon. Which means that everyone should have mazon shtei sudos. But now, he says the following, that what happens if you have more than 18, and now each one contributes a grogeris. So let's say I have 19 people, you end up with 19 grogros. And if you have 20 people with 20 grogros, etc. I mean, the increment is much more than Mazon Shtei Sudos. So he says in such a case, you won't need to have a grogeres for each one, but Mazon Shtei Sudos is enough. Yeah.
Just to clarify, so you need the equivalent of two meals for one person, which is then divided amongst all of the people if there's more than 18. So each gets a little portion. It's not that you have to have two meals for everyone.
Don, let's take first the simple case. There are 18 people. Let's start with that. You know, for my benefit. And then we'll get to the case where there's more than 18, which is much more complicated. So in the simple case where there are 18 people in the Mavui, then Mazon Shtei Sudos would be the equivalent of 18 grogros, so that each person has his grogeris worth, and that's fine. So that's a case of Mu'atim. Okay. Now, what I'm trying to figure out is what happens in the case of Merubim, which we said means that there's more than 18 people in the Mavui. So he says that in Yesh Yosa, I'm going to read the text again. Yesh Yosa Mishmon Esrei B'nei Adam. She'im Yanichu Kigrogeres L'chol Echad V'Echad. Yesh Sham Yosa Mimozon Shtei Sudos. Right? Because Mozon Shtei Sudos equals 18 Grogros. Now there are 20 people in the Mavui, if they were each to contribute a grogeres, so now you have 20 grogros, and that would be more than Mazon Shtei Sudos. We only require a maximum of Mazon Shtei Sudos. So again, if there's less than 18, then we have to guarantee, or equal to 18 or less, we have to guarantee that there'll be a grogeres l'chol echad v'echad. If there's more than 18, then if we were to collect a grogeres for each one of them, we'd be ending up with more than Mazon Shtei Sudos. And the halach is that Mazon Shtei Sudos is enough for all of them, right? Let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kama hushi uram, bizman shei merubim, Mazon Shtei Sudos lekulon. Meaning that Shtei Sudos is enough for all of them. You don't need more than Mazon Shtei Sudos. Even if you have 100 people in the Mavu, we said that Mazon Shtei Sudos is Shir Chashuv, and that's enough of a Shir for all of them. So what happens? Now I'm trying to get the nafkamina between Merubin and Mu'atim. In the case of Mu'atim, is Grogeres L'chol Echad V'Echad. Oh, I see. Ah, so in the case of mu'atim, you could end up with a lot less than Muslim shtei sudos. Because all you need is, let's say there are three people in the chatzer, all you need is three grogros worth. That's called grogeres l'chol echad v'echad. You don't require Muslim shtei sudos, which is a lot more. Right? Muslim shtei sudos is equal to 18 grogros, but there are only three people in the chatzer. All you need from each one is a grogros worth. And in the case of three people, it's you need three grogros worth. That's a fraction of 18. Now, what's the halacha once you hit 19? Once you hit 19, then you have to have the barest minimum of Muslim shtei sudos. If you're below 19, then you might have a situation where you have less than Muslim shtei sudos, but that's fine because all you need is a grogeres for each one of the Bnei Amavli. And it could be that you collected enough grogros that even though it's less than Muslim shtei sudos, but nevertheless it would certainly it would have a grogeres worth corresponding to each one of the Bnei Achatzer that contributed to that Eruv. Now we hit the bingo. We're above 18. What happens now? And the answer is no. The maximum, the ceiling that you need is Muslim shtei sudos. And that's called shtei sudos l'kulam. Whereas if you were to apply the individual grogeres model, like we did in the case of mu'atim, then you would end up with a lot more than Muslim shtei sudos. Because if you're applying the model of grogeres l'chol echad v'echad, then if you have 20 people, with a grogeres l'chol echad v'echad, you're already exceeding way beyond Muslim shtei sudos, and the more you have, the greater, you end up with Muslim arba sudos. So the maximum that's required is Muslim shtei sudos. In the case of mu'atim, we might not necessarily get to Muslim shtei sudos. We don't require it sufficient that there's a grogeres l'chol echad v'echad. So now, Don, I'm ready for your question. Sorry, I just needed to work this out. Can you reiterate your question?
You answered it.
Oh, okay. I answered. Yeah. The reason why I couldn't answer your question before is because I didn't have it worked out in my mind. Amar Rav Yossi. Now we're moving towards the end of this Mishnah. B'med Dvar Mamurim, when is it necessary to have a grogeres l'chol echad v'echad in mu'atim, or at least the minimum of shtei sudos in merubin? That's only b'tchilas eruv. That's if you're asking how to set up the eruv from the get-go. Avol b'shiyare eruv, if part of the eruv was nismayit, then kol shuhu. According to Rabbi Yossi, as long as there's some vestige of the original grogeres l'chol echad v'echad or Muslim shtei sudos, some sort of mashu that's left over, that's enough to continue the life and the viability of the Eruv. And now Rabbi Yossi is going to explain why that's so. Why do we drop the requirement of the shear of an Eruv, of grogeres l'chol echad or Muslim shtei sudos? And the answer is shelo amru li arev bechatzeros el kedei shelo l'shakeach es hatinokos, which is, I think, a gemara that we had already. I'm trying to remember exactly where we had it. Let's see if he this. I'm just for my own curiosity. Right, I didn't find it. But I'm pretty sure we had this. So you remember that we're very often worried about the next generation. If they didn't see in their youth growing up an Eruv, they don't know about Torah's Eruv. And the whole entity and enterprise of Eruv might go dead, might be forgotten. Now, if they're doing a shita for the Mavui, then maybe the Na'orim will not know about the Eruv. They're very young. And they don't know about Shituv. Therefore, the Chachamim said that not only should the Bnei Amavui make a Shituv Muvos, but also the Bnei Achatzeros should make an Eruv Chatzeros. And this will satisfy the Yiro HaTinokos, the requirement that the Tinokos see the mechanism of an Eruv. So what comes out now is that the institution of Eruv Chatzeros. So we have to add one important point here. This is not spelled out in the Mishnah. What we're talking about here is a case where they had a sheet of muvos. They made an Eruv Chatzeros, but it was nismayit. And Rabbi Yossi says, that's fine. As long as there's some vestige left from the original Eruv Chatzeros. And the reason why he was so lenient is because they already made the Eruv Chatzeros. Now it was Nismayit. And we can assume that the Tinokos will be aware of that Eruv. They don't have to know, they're not necessarily privy to the information that it was Nismayit, that, you know, it partially dissolved or disintegrated. So what they know about is the institution of Eruv, which was organized, now it was Nismayit, and we don't have a problem of Shema Yishkechu Atinokos. Just one second. Oh, so what happens? So now we have to add another clue over here. Rabbi Yossi is talking about Erev Chatzeros. What happened with the Shituf Muvos? And the answer is, there already was a Shituf Muvos. And after the Shituf Muvos, there's the Erev Chatzeros. Each Chatzer has its own Erev. Is now Nismayit Eruv Chatzeros. And Rabbi Yossi says all you need that's left is a kol shu. So it seems that it's not exactly what I told you, that the reason why we're not afraid of Shichas HaNi'orim Atinokos is because they initially put up the Erev with a full shear of, let's say, Mazon Shtei Sudos, or as many grogros as they need to correspond to the number of people in the Chatzer. And therefore, Nismayit is Afil B'Kol Shu. No, that's not the Pshat in Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is saying that since the Sheet of Muvos, therefore, we can rely on the Erev Chatzeros, even though there's nothing left except for a kol shu. I'll just read to you his note here. He writes, "Kedei shelo l'shakech satinok shelo yishkechu hani'orim toras Erev. She'im yasu rak shituf l'mavui, Lo yedu ana'orim mea eruv, shana'orim haktanim, enom yodim mea shituf, shenase bein anshe hamavui, Umishum kach omru she'arvu af bechatzeros kidei she'yiru atinokos. So if I understand correctly, what he's saying here is that the Erev Chatzeros, in a certain sense, is totally unnecessary. He has already a sheet of Muvos. But the reason why they insisted on Erev Chatzeros in addition to sheet of Muvos is Kidei Shlo Shakech Es Hatinokos, which he translates again as Shlo Yishku Ana'orim Toras Eru. So again, if the Na'orim are not aware of the Sheet of Muvos, then if you don't insist on an Erev Chatzeros, they won't be aware of any element in the whole enterprise of Erev. And therefore we required an Erev Chatzeros in addition to the Sheet of Muvos. But that's all a Chumrah of Kidei Shelo Shakechas HaTinokos. It's not what we call Me'ikra Din. Is therefore they were makil, and if what's left from the Eruv Chatzeros is just a kol shehu, we're going to rely and validate that Eruv, despite the fact that it doesn't have the shear of Mazon Shtei Sudos, or the grogos that we need, keneged the Bnei HaChatz. So that is the Mishnah. Now, he has a note that, let's say, the Sheet of Muvos was Nismait, and all he has left is a Kol Shu. He says, in that case, Moder Rabbi Yossi, Sha'af Shir Hashituf Tzrichim Shir. That what's left from the Sheet of Muvos requires a Shir. Okay, so now we have an introduction here to this Gemara. In the Mishnah, we clarified that im nismait ha'ochel shel ha'eruv, then when he adds for the bnei hamavui in a way that he expects to get reimbursed, he doesn't have to notify them because they already on the first round contributed from their pocket to the Erev, indicating that they're interested in the Erev. It seems that if there's no vestige whatsoever, it's not a case in the Smite, but Kola Ha'ochel Lagamre, it then he has to collect from them from the beginning, and Tzarech Lo Diela, B'mayaskina, what's the case? Ilema B'min Echad. If the Mishnah's talked about a case where he's being Mosif ala Eruv and he's adding the same min of the first round, the first original Eruv, is my Irya Nismait Afilu Kola Nami. Why does the Mishnah speak about a case of Nismait? Let's say it was completely gone. The Eruv is, there's not even a morsel left of the original Eruv. Is in this case also, we should apply the principle of Ein Tzarech Lo Dia, because they contribute already on the first round, indicating their approval and their interest in the Eruv. Ela B'shnei Minim. He wants to now replace the original Eruv with a second min. So the Gemara says that also is not so smooth, is because Afilu Nismait, even if it was diminished and it wasn't completely destroyed, is Nami Lo. We should say that you need to be Modia him in a case of two minim. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Kola Ochel Mimin Echad. If he now wants to replace the original Eruv that was diminished by adding the same min, then Enu Tzarch Ladia, but Mishnei Minim, if he's now contributing a different min to replace the first one, Tzarch Lodia. He has to be Modia. Our Mishnah says Enu Tzarch Lodia, which would only make sense if it was Mimin Echad. But if it was Mimin Echad, then the Mishnah should have covered the case of Kola Lagamri. So the Gemara gives two answers. Ibois Ema, if you want to say Mimin Echad, the Mishnah is talking about a case where he's using the same min for his second round of the Erev to replace the first round that got lost, is the if you want, I can even interpret the Mishnah as referring to a case of two different minim. And now the Gemara goes through these possibilities one by one. If the Mishnah is talking about a case where he's replacing the Eruv with the same exact min that he used for the first Eruv, then the Mishnah would hold that even if Kola HaEruv Lagamre ain't Tzarch Lodia. The Mishnah didn't have to mention Dafka case of Nismait, because if it's Min Echad, then even if it's Kol Legamre, ain't Tzarch Lodio, because the Bnei Amavi indicated their interest in this Eruv, and now we're just replacing the old Eruv. We don't have to be Modia then. Oh, Umay Nismait. So why did the Mishnah limit its discussion to the case of Nismait, even in case of Kol Legamre, the same halacha would apply? My nismait, nismatimit. So I don't know if he's changing the girsa in the Mishnah or he's reinterpreting it, but nismait, the word nismait now, nismatimit, which means kola ha'ochel legamri. So that's the way Rashi learns. The other Rishonim are not happy with this. That Rashi says this matamet means it was completely gone. He says the name of the Ritva and the Rashba, it's Nichsar Rubo. So if it was Nismait Lagamre, then Enochinami, even if he's using the same mini, would have to be Modialo, because the first Erev is gone. And now he's just setting up a brand new Erev. He has to be Modia. But Amish is talking about a case where there's still some vestige of the original Erev. That's the way the Ritva learns. Whereas Rashi is learning that since it's the same min, that itself indicates that it's just a replacement of the original Eruv. Ibai Sema Bishnei Minim. So now he's taking a brand new min. and replacing the original Eruv. So the question is, if that be the case of it, Shnei Mina, we've already proven from a Braisa that Tzarech Lo Dio, so why does the Mishnah say Ein Tzarech Lo Dio? Ukola Shaini. That the Braisa, in the case of two minim, is kola. The original Erev is completely gone, and now he's replacing it with a different min, that's virtually creating a whole new Erev, and Tzarech Lo Dio. Okay, but what about our Mishnah? Just 1 second. So again, it's Shnei Minim. Oh, I see. The Mishnah is talking about a case of Shnei Minim, but there's still some vestige left from the original Eruv, which is called Lokolo Legamre. So even though he's starting with a new Min, which sounds like a new Eruv, but he's just integrating it to the old Eruv because the old Eruv is still partially in existence. Again, it doesn't have a Shear, but Lo Kolo Legamre. Whereas the Bryce is talking about of Kolo Legamre, and now he's starting from scratch with a different Min. He's not replacing the old Min, it's a brand new Eruv, and therefore the Bryce speaks. The Braisa stipulates the requirement of Tzarech Lo Dio. If, on the other hand, it would be Nismaita Eruv, then the Braisa would admit that Ein Tzarech Lo Dio, even if he's replacing that which was lost in the diminishing with another min, with a different min entirely. That's called Nismaita Eruv. Just want to add something here about the shear of Grogeris that we spoke about. And in the Girsa of the Mishnayis of our Mishnah, there's an extra two words here, Lo Tzos Shavis, which means that we need for each one of the Bnei Amovi a shear of Grogeris, which is also the shear of Ochlim for Hotzos Shavis, for the Meleches Hotzah. Because hamotzi ochlim mirshus ayoch lishus ayochid eno chayev elin kein hotzi kishir shall grow geres. And the Ritva explains that the shear le'eruv depends upon the shear of the chiyuv hotzav Shabbos, and that shear of Shabbos of hotzav gives chashivus to generate a chiyuv hotzav Shabbos is the same shear of chashivus for eruv. And he quotes the Ravid that if they would be mishtatef in a mavui with mashkim, with liquids, then you would need a revius l'chol echa v'echa k'din motzi mashkim b'shabes, sheinam eschayev ela b'revius. The Ritva himself says that the shear of shtei sudos for adam echad in mashkim is shtei revius, and therefore it would be enough to have shtei revios, even for anoshim rabim, like mazon shtei sudos, can then pass b'shir shel shtei sudos. Shemoil, it's effective even for anoshim harbe. And another point here is that when it says, Omer Rab Yossi, Bamed v'amur b'tchilas eruv, aval b'shiore eruv v'nismayit, is kol shehu, Rabbeinu Yonasan interprets this that Nismait Mishiuro Mishenichnaso Shabbos Rishona. That if the first Shabbos, it was already Nismait Mishiuro, after the first Shabbos, the onset of the first Shabbos, then Eino Nikra Shiore Eruv. What makes it Shiare Eruv with Rabbi Yossi's Kula of Kolshu? That's Ella im Nischaser Achar Shahoyesh Sholem B'tchilas HaShabbos Rishona Aval im Nischaser Eruv Lifnei Shenichnas HaShabbos Ein Ole Adayin Shem Eruv. So we have to assume, says Rabbeinu Yonasan, that this mute of Shir
took place after the onset of Shabbos. And if Nischaser Achar Shahayesh Sholim B'Tchilas HaShabbos Rishona, then you could call it Shiore Eruv. But if the Chisaron of the Erev was before Knisa Shabbos, then it never had a Shem Erev to it. The Rashba, on the other hand, says that Afilum Nismaid HaErev Achar Shehinichu Kodem Achar Shehu Gam Nikra Shiore Eruv. So that sheet of the Rashba has to be understood. Now, the Marshal has a girsa in Rashi that Rabbi Yossi argues against the Tanakama, who says that Nismait Erev Tzarech LaHosif Olav. And Rabbi Yossi is saying, Ein Tzarech Shir Erev El B'Tchila, but Nismait Erev Ein Tzarech LaHosif Olav. And the Rambam says this in his Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rashba and the Ritva say it. But Tosus Yontif writes that the language of the Mishnah here, Amar Rav Yossi, is a little bit strange, because if the Mishnah quotes Rav Yossi without quoting the Tanakhama, then it sounds like Rav Yossi is just explaining the Tanakhama. And according to Tosis Yontif, Kol Mokum Shu Loshen Shebo Lefaresh Esdivri Tanakhama Murim Kodem Below Lachlok Olav, then it would say Omer Rabbi Yossi. And he says that Mishum She Rabbi Yossi Kisha Omer Zdvarav Ba Lefarish Es Mashomet Tanakama Shetzorich Shir B'Erev. And Rabbi Yossi holds that he agrees with the Tanakama that in general you need a Shir of an Erev, as opposed to the case of Nismayit. V'afshe Tanakama lo hiskim imo, kevin sh'Rav Yossi niskaven lefarish es dvara, ve'via mishnah es diri Rav Yossi b'loshen zu. So he justifies Rav Yossi's, the language of the Mishnah, which seems to indicate that there's no machlokes, Rav Yossi's only come to be mevayer, based on the fact that this was the way Rav Yossi understood it. Rav Yossi thought he was coming only levayer. However, what's important for us to know is that Rabbeinu Yonah's son, according to the Girsa of the Bach, clearly indicates that there is no machlokas between the Tanakama of Yossi, and the Tanakama concedes that in the case of Shiori Erev, you don't need a shir. The Tanakama is talking about a case of Nischasera Erev Achar Shinichosham Kodem Shehechshech. Again, this is all against the Rashba, but the Tanakama is telling us that you need a shir because the nischaser shir was before the onset of Shabbos. And in fact, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that this case would not fall under Shiori Erev, and it would require a full shir of Mazon Shtei Sudos. In fact, the Bach explains that that's the opinion of the Tur. Now, the Bach offers another possible approach to understand the Tur, that there's no machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama, except that the Tanakama said that if he wants to be Mosif on the Eruv, in order to make it into a mitzvah min ha-muvchar, or perhaps he wants to add to the Eruv because he's choshesh that perhaps yechsar od mea Eruv harishon, v'lo yishar min ha-afilu kolshu, he's afraid maybe even a kolshu will be lost, so he wants to be Mosif, is oz Mosif u'mezaka v'yein tzarech lo dia. And that's what the Rabbanan would certainly agree. And Rotzeh LaHosif Ala Erev, under those circumstances, he certainly can do so, and he's Mezake, and he doesn't need any Yediyah. And keep in mind also, as we end the Shia today, that the Shituf that they do in a Mavui is effective even for the Eruv that has to be set up in each Chatzer. And once they made the Shita from the Mavui, they didn't need to do an Eruv Chatzeros, except for the new Takana of Kedesha Yiru Hatinokos. And this is all the opinion of Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim hold, back on Daf Ayin Aleph, that we can rely on the shita b'makom eruv. So once we make a shita, we don't need an eruv at all. And we had a whole sugi there with the machlokas amoraim, how to interpret the shittas. Okay, so we're going to stop here, and we're on daf peyom at beis. We're up to nitosfu, and Emir Shem will continue on Yom Rishon.